Hello and welcome back to the Study Legal English podcast. This podcast episode is all about this book. I'm going to show you the book if you're watching this on YouTube. And there we have it. If you're listening, then obviously you didn't see that. The book is the Lawyer's English Language Course Book. If you know it, you know it as the TOLS textbook. Okay, it's the Test of Legal English Skills textbook, but the real name is the Lawyer's English Language Course Book. Why is it called the TOLS book as well? Well, because it's the book that's used to prepare students who want to take the Test of Legal English Skills, the TOLS exam. I get a lot of people getting in touch with me on Instagram or on Facebook saying, I want to learn legal English, what should I do? Should I buy a book? And very often I recommend this book, so I would like to tell you about it. So if you're listening to the podcast, know that this is also available as a video on YouTube. And if you're watching it on YouTube and you haven't ever headed over to my website, go and check it out, studylegalenglish.com. So now let's get started properly. Let's listen to that jingle.
You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. For more information, visit studylegalenglish.com.
Welcome back. So, before we exactly get started, I wanted to remind you about Podcast Pro membership on my site. If you are interested in, you know, really going a bit deeper with your language learning, then you can sign up to my membership. So if you're interested in that, head over to studylegalenglish.com/pricing and you can find the membership options there. So enough of that. Let's take a look at this book. So the first thing that I wanted to say or answer, the first question I wanted to answer was, what is this book? So the Lawyer's English Language book, it's by Catherine Mason. Some of you might know who she is. Okay, Catherine Mason is the lady who invented TOLS, we can say, the Test of Legal English Skills. So Catherine also runs a language school called the Cambridge Law Studio in Cambridge. It's actually in Cambridge in England. If you've never been to Cambridge, it is a beautiful city, typically English, very lovely. Anyway, Cambridge, the Cambridge Law Studio, that is the law school that Catherine Mason runs. Okay, she organises the TOLS Test of Legal English Skills, and she wrote this book. So, it's a big book. It's a bit bigger than A4. It's about an inch thick, I would say. So it's quite heavy, okay? Yes, I've had to take this book back and forth in my luggage when I've been teaching the Test of Legal English Skills in Oman. It's a heavy book. You could probably put it in your handbag or your backpack, but just be aware it's heavy. So it's to prepare students for both the foundation exam and the higher exam. So for those of you who are not sure about what the Test of Legal English Skills is, it's a test to see what your level of legal English is. And the test is split into three different exams. You don't take all of the exams at once, okay? You can take one exam at a time. You can take the foundation exam. Clearly that's for beginners. Then you can take the higher exam, which is for intermediate level. And then you can take the advanced, which is for, you know, as the name might suggest, it's for advanced speakers of legal English, advanced users, we can say, of legal English. And no, you don't have to take each exam. It's not a prerequisite to take each exam step by step. You can take whichever exam you want. And that's fine. So this particular book, the Lawyer's English Language Course book, the purpose of it is that students work their way through this book in order to prepare themselves to take the TOLS exam, either the foundation or the higher or both. So who is it for? Really, it's for people who want to take TOLS. However, even if you don't want to take the exam, it could be useful for you. I actually have used this course book myself with some students who didn't take the exam. They just wanted to improve their legal English. So it's not like, you know, if you don't want to take the exam, don't use this book. Okay, it's a good textbook in its own right. What I would say is that there's quite a focus on the English legal system, on the legal system of England and Wales, because references in the book refer to case law, English case law. They refer to concepts which exist in England, okay? This isn't like a civil law based course book. There's some reference to American legal English. For example, at the beginning, there's a section on the legal profession. And in that section, it talks about, you know, what do we call the different people in the legal profession? Obviously, solicitor, barrister. It goes through the distinction between solicitor and barrister, and that if we're just talking in general, then we call them lawyers. And that in America, this is called attorney. So there are differences. Just as with general English, you've got differences between British English and American English. The same with legal English, okay? Yes, there are different words that are used in America compared to words that we use in England. The legal systems, despite they're both common law systems, they have different concepts. Civil procedure, criminal procedure is different. The names of the documents are different. So some of the stuff in here, I mean, if your main aim is to study in America or to become an attorney, then, you know, you could use this book. It could be helpful for you, but I would recommend using it with an American legal English teacher. For example, somebody who I had on my show, who I interviewed in 2020, was a guy called Daniel Edison. And he runs a YouTube channel called US Law Essentials. It's brilliant. He also teaches. He teaches students online. So if you're planning on becoming a US attorney, then perhaps fine. If you would like to use this book, you can. It's a good textbook. But probably use it with checking out some YouTube videos on US law or getting in touch with Daniel Edison, asking him some questions like, oh, I read in the TOLS book that you call it a claim form to start a claim. How do we call this in the USA? Things like that. Just be aware that the base of this book is the English legal system. Having said that, a lot of the vocabulary can be used in an international context where you're speaking English. Generally, lawyers, whether they are from America or from the UK or from Australia or any jurisdiction where English is spoken, where English is the native language, will probably more or less understand one particular term that might be, there might be a different term for it in a different jurisdiction. But knowing, having a basic vocabulary where you can say, you know, oh, I need to send the claim form, and you're talking to someone in the USA and they're like, claim form, do you mean? They might use a different word. So having a basis, understanding the vocabulary and what it means will help you in an international context. And very often some of the words are the same. So I hope I've made that clear. Now, what's in the book? How is it structured? So for those of you who are watching on YouTube, I'm going to kind of show you the contents page, okay? Now, basically, the book is structured. We've got 10 chapters, each one split into two, except for chapter 8, which is just one chapter. Why is each chapter split into two, you're asking me? Well, because the first chapter, which is always like 1A, 2A, 3A, etc., that's aimed at preparing students for the foundation exam. So it's a little bit simpler. It's like an introduction to the topic. It introduces you to vocabulary. It introduces you to certain concepts. And then the next chapter, which would be a B chapter, so 1B, 2B, 3B, etc., that's aimed at preparing you for the higher exam. And so that chapter goes into more detail. It allows you to practice concepts that you've picked up in the first chapter. It kind of reviews certain stuff that you've learned in the first chapter. It talks about collocations, you know, words that fit together, like to breach a contract is a classic one. So you learn collocations, you learn ways of using the vocabulary that you've learned in the first chapter in a way that sounds very native, very natural, very professional. So that's the way that the book is structured. Now the chapters, what are the chapters? What's the content of the book? Okay, the first chapter, 1A and 1B, is the legal profession. Okay, you learn about what we call different people in the legal profession, different areas of law, what they're called. Also, you learn about making a claim in the civil court, that kind of thing. Chapter 2 is about the language of banking. So you learn collocations like to accrue debt, to take out a loan, okay? Things like that. Common language used in the field of banking. So the next chapter, chapter 3, chapter 3A and 3B, is the language of contract law. I love this chapter. This is a great chapter, probably because I really enjoy teaching contracts. But it gives you a good foundational knowledge of how contracts are formed in England. It talks about the different elements of forming a contract and the kind of language that's used when talking about contracts. So those two chapters are pretty nice. Then we've got a chapter 4A and 4B on employment law. So you learn about different concepts in employment law, for example, unfair dismissal, redundancy. Not all jurisdictions have redundancy as a concept. So you learn about different elements in employment law. Then it's got chapter 5, which is about the law of tort. So for example, it talks about negligence. You learn about this historic case called, what is it called? Donoghue and Stevenson. Sorry, forgot it for a moment there. A funny case. Well, not funny for the lady involved. The facts are a bit bizarre, involving a decaying snail, like a creature that normally, you know, slides along the ground with a shell on its back. That was found inside a bottle of ginger beer, and it's one of the landmark cases in the law of negligence. So you learn about that. Then it's got another chapter about contracts, chapter 6A and 6B, which is called Understanding Contracts. And it goes into more details, especially the second part, chapter 6B, goes into particular elements in the contract, different parts of the contract. For example, the parties and recitals, the defined terms section. So that's, again, pretty interesting. Then chapter 7A and 7B is about business law. You learn about the different business structures. For example, a limited liability partnership, partnerships, limited liability company, different types of companies and how they're set up in England and what that involves. Then chapter 8, there's only one chapter for chapter 8, there's not a chapter 8A and 8B. Chapter 8 is about modern letter writing, so you can learn how to write a letter. I would say that this is relevant. Okay, it's helpful. Of course, lawyers write letters, but Generally, a lot of correspondence nowadays is done by email. So maybe this is a little bit, it's not out of date, but it could be updated, I would say. Then we've got Chapter 9A and Chapter 9B, which is about the language of company law, which is more related to the different types of people involved in companies, like the directors, the duties of directors, talking about meetings, different types of meetings, and insolvency, you know, when a company goes bankrupt, what happens to that company. And then we've got Chapter 10A and Chapter 10B, the final chapter, which is about understanding contracts again, and again going into a little bit more detail about some particular types of clauses, termination clauses, force majeure clauses, those types of things. And, you know, this is a textbook about language. If you want to know business law, and you really need to know business law, this isn't a book to learn business law. It's not a book to learn company law or employment law. That's not the aim of this book. The aim is to learn the language of the law within the context of also learning about particular areas of the law in the English legal system, okay? So keep that in mind. So how is the book actually set out? So I'll show you, for example, okay, we've got, that's the first page here. I believe the first chapter is freely available if you go to the Cambridge Law Studio website. Anyway, the first chapter, which is about the legal profession, and I just showed you if you were watching this on YouTube, you've basically got, the book is set out in exercises, okay? You do exercises in this book, a lot of reading and then answering comprehension questions in the form of ticking, like true, false kind of questions, or filling in the gaps, like writing in the particular words for particular meanings, or, you know, matching particular words to the correct meaning. So there's a lot of texts to read. And there are listening exercises in the second part of each chapter, so the B sections of each chapter, because the higher exam contains listening requirements. Your listening's tested as well as your writing and reading. Speaking is not tested in the TOLS exam. So this particular book does not really contain discussion questions. However, if you use this book with a legal English teacher, you know, who's a good legal English teacher, you're going to discuss stuff because, you know, you read a section about starting a claim in the civil court and your teacher can ask you questions about it. How is it in your jurisdiction? What do you think about this process here? Can you re-explain this process to me in your own words? It's easy to be able to get speaking exercises with a teacher, but know that in the exam, you're not tested on the speaking at all. So, you know, the focus on the book is on your ability to understand certain words, vocabulary. It's very heavy on the vocabulary, heavy on the collocations and on prepositional phrases. Also in the B sections, you do some writing. So, you know, practicing your writing. What else did I want to say? I wanted to say that this, you know, it's very much exercise, written exercises based. Gap fill, filling in words, matching the words, as I mentioned, multiple choice, true or false type questions. It's not about practical activities. So if you're a legal English teacher and you're teaching the TOLS preparation course and you're using this as a book, I tend to find that if you only rely on the book, classes can be a little bit, you know, students can get a bit bored because if you're always filling in stuff in a book, for me, that, you know, everyone's different and everyone has a different learning style. But for me, I find that a bit boring. So I tend to spice it up a bit to make it a little bit more fun by doing practical activities, including role plays. So in this book, at the back of the book, well, this is something that's nice, okay? At the end of each A chapter, so, you know, 1A, 2A, 3A, you get a kind of list. I think, hopefully, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can kind of see what I'm talking about. You get this kind of list of all of the key vocabulary that has been covered in that particular A chapter. You only get the vocabulary, you don't get a definition. You don't get an example sentence. I guess the thinking behind this when Catherine made the book is that, you know, you're supposed to fill this in. And when I teach TOLS, I get my students to fill in these kind of glossary sections so that they know what the word is, so that they've got a definition and an example for each word, because that's not given. Of course, you learn, as you're going through the book, you learn the words and you learn what each word means, and you can practice using it in a sentence, but you're not given a nice list of, you know, this is the word, this is the definition, this is an example sentence. So, you know, great, you can check it yourself, you can test yourself on the words using those sheets at the back of each chapter, but there's no easy kind of cheat sheet where you've got a list of the words with a definition and the example sentence. At the end of each A chapter, you've got that vocabulary. At the end of each B chapter, you don't have a list of collocations. You don't have a list of prepositions. So there's no similar kind of glossary for the B sections, which is a shame, I think. That could have been included. But you find those collocations within the B chapters. They're very easy to find as well because they're set out in little kind of boxes that are called collocation bank, preposition bank. I think that makes the layout very clear. It makes it easy for students to find those particular sections. So after chapter 10, you've got a few sections in the back of the book. You've got the answers. Great. That's fantastic. You would expect that in a course book, of course. And this means that if you want a textbook to work through by yourself studying legal English, you can. The answers are there. You don't necessarily need a teacher to tell you whether you've got the answer right or wrong. But the benefit of having a teacher is that the teacher can kind of help you know whether you're using the words correctly. They can tell you the nuances of the particular words. So yes, you can work through this book on your own. Would I recommend it? No, I'd recommend working through it with a teacher. But if for whatever reason you can't do that, then, you know, that's the best you can do. Yeah, work through it on your own. In terms of preparing you for the TOLS exam, it will probably be fine. In terms of if you're using this book to become an expert on legal English, you might find it difficult to do that on your own. So what else? You've got the answers at the back of the book. You've also got, what else? You've got transcripts of the listening exercises. So if for whatever reason you can't listen to the listening exercises, you could read the listening exercises. You could ask someone else to read them for you. And then at the very back, you've got a CD. Okay, the book comes with a CD. So that's nice. Personally, I think that's outdated now. Who has a CD player? I mean, I do. But do I use it? Not very often, okay? Nowadays, people want to have MP3s. People want to be able to listen to stuff on their computers. A lot of computers don't have CD drives anymore, which is, you know, a reflection of the times that we live in and the fact that most of the audio, we expect content to be available online. So bear this in mind, this book comes with a CD. There is not, as of now, when I'm speaking and making this recording, there's no MP3 version of this that you can buy from Tolls. I would say, you know, it would be great if they had a companion website where you could actually access the MP3s online. Also, this book is not available as a ebook, which I also think is unfortunate because, you know, a lot of teachers teach online and would really appreciate having an online version of this book. So it's only available in the copy, in the hard copy, in the real copy. It's not a hardback, it's a flexible book. And if you're looking at this and you're like, why is it kind of covered in this like plastic, weird plastic coating? That's me, I've done that because I use this book a lot and I found that I was using it so much the cover was becoming quite damaged, so I put a plastic coating on it. You don't have to do that, you know. That was my choice and that's why it looks the way that it does. I've mentioned this, but just to highlight, this book is made by Catherine Mason. Catherine Mason runs the Tolls exam. If you want a book to prepare yourself for the Test of Legal English Skills, this is the book to buy. Don't buy some random book that's produced by someone else, okay? It might not be as relevant as this book. You can go ahead and buy the book, but I recommend this is the book that you buy as your main book to prepare you for Tolls. Maybe there's another one that exists that might be helpful for you, but it shouldn't be your main book to prepare for the Tolls exam. That's what I think of the Lawyer's English Language book, coursebook, sorry. It's a good book. I mean, I recommend it. I think it's a good book to have. Where can you buy it? You can buy it from, I think you can probably buy it directly from the Cambridge Law Studio. You can also buy it on Amazon. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes of the podcast and in the show notes of the YouTube video. So you can find it down there somewhere. If you've got any questions about the Tolls book, let me know. If you use this particular book, let me know. Okay, do you like it? What do you like about it? And if you found this video or this podcast useful, great. Tell me about it. Would you like me to review other books? Let me know in the comment section below. If you're watching on YouTube, send me an email, louise@studylegalenglish.com, or join in the conversation on social media in the Facebook group, Study Legal English group on Facebook, if you search for it, and at Legal Englisher on Instagram. Good, great. Thank you for listening. And I will see you guys next time. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Study Legal English podcast. If you really want to get ahead, why not become a member and gain access to many learning resources? Visit studylegalenglish.com/pricing.